Welcome back to another Wattpad podcast. Today we are going to be talking about banned books, which is a big issue this week. It's Banned Book Week in North America. And this week we have two Wattpad writers joining us to give us their opinion. We have Abby Gibbs, who's coming from the UK to talk to us about banned books. She is the author on Wattpad of Dinner with a Vampire, Did I Mention I'm a Vegetarian? The other writer who is joining us from Wattpad is Abby Kirk, who is the author of Tattoo. So these are two really amazing books on Wattpad if you haven't already checked them out. And they've been nice enough to take some time to talk to us about what they think about banned books and what banned books are like in the UK, which is where they're both from. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, you guys sound good and loud and clear. So what do you think about banned books? You said that you were surprised that Of Mice and Men was a banned title. Do you have any thought as to why it might have been banned or found objectionable?
When I was reading it, everyone was swearing. I didn't find the swearing that much upsetting or distressing. I was distressed how Lenny acted. It was honestly how he died as well. That kind of threw me a bit because I was quite attached to the character because he was this big lout who just wanted to care for everything. He cared too much and he killed. And that is quite upsetting reading when, 14, 15 years old, you think, good Lord, I can't kill a little puppy or can't kill a lady just because, you pet her too much. Killing people, and at the end of the day, George turn around and do that. It was something that, it had to be done in that sort of sense that, he did imagine that his ideal girl.
And then why would you say that you think banning books is generally a good idea? I mean, there's always exceptions to every rule. We're not asking you to give a hard line or your 100% opinion, but what do you think about banning books in general? Would you say this is a positive thing or a negative thing?
I'm going to say a positive thing. If banning books can help stem people's way of taking things too far, it could show them that particular book has some ideals that people might be extremely uncomfortable with. So it's own people's discretion, but I think it is a thing.
Yeah, no, it's a hard thing to make a certain judgment about, absolutely. But I think it certainly is surprising how far sometimes books need to go to be banned. It seems that it doesn't need to be far at all. And I think it's definitely an issue that we'll continue to explore, especially with, the proliferation of ebooks and self-publishing, and some of the traditional checks that were in place are no longer really there. So the issue of banned books will probably only increase. So thank you so much for joining us, Abby Kirk. I think we've lost Abby Gibbs, or I don't know, is she there?
I'm not so sure.
Hi, Abby Gibbs, welcome back.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. No, it's really not your fault, not at all. So would you like to quickly weigh in? I don't know how much you heard of Abby Kirk's opinion, but we'd love to hear what you think about banning books. I know you've worked in a library before, so do you have any insider thoughts you'd like to put into our podcast?
I've not really seen much banning of actual books, but they're quite picky about where you categorise books and where you put books actually physically in the library.
Right.
Because you're not allowed to put, for example, books that deal with sexuality and things in the children's section, even if they're aimed at, maybe younger teens.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, so there's sort of a control, like the way that you would see PG or G at a movie theater, and they wouldn't allow younger people into a movie that was...
Yeah, very much like that. Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever read a book and then found out that it was banned somewhere else?
I think what the exception would be Of Mice and Men, as Abby said earlier. That's, I think, the only one. I didn't even know that was banned until just now. So I don't think outside of that I've known.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, no.
And then what do you think, I'd love to hear your opinion on banned books in general. Do you think this is something that we need as a society, or would you consider it a form of censorship, or what's your opinion?
I'd probably consider it a form of censorship, because I'm quite for freedom of speech and everything. But I think, you know, there does need to be something to tell people, you know, be wary that this book could offend you, or could, you know, it's questionable. But I think it should be available to be read by everybody if they want to read it.
Right. And yeah. Then I'd love both of your opinions. Do you think that with online and mobile reading and all the different kinds of reading, even if a city or a town were to ban a book, would it really be that effective anymore?
No, because you could probably just, like, email a friend in another part of the country and send me this book, please, or something like that, or find it online, of course, ebooks.
Yeah, or just download it from Amazon, right, if you have a Kindle or something.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, and Abby Kirk, did you have an opinion about that?
Again, pretty much the same statement, I think.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it, and thank you for everyone who's listening. So now we're going to hear from Jordan Lind, who is a really popular writer on Wattpad. One of her most popular stories is A Prescriptive Relationship, but she's also the writer of 8 other novels on Wattpad. And we are going to get her opinion on Banned Book Week. So thank you so much for joining us, Jordan.
No problem.
Do you have an opinion, or do you think that there's ever a situation in which a banned book is appropriate, or are you surprised to see that some of the books that you've read are actually banned in some parts of the United States?
Well, to be honest, I think that a banned book is pretty ridiculous. Like, there are some books we were actually just talking about, one in my History of Human Oppression class, mm-hmm. because... Oh, I can't. I probably shouldn't say anything about that. But for certain reasons, that a book is banned in a country is just, it makes me think, why? Why would you ban that?
Yeah. So have you ever read a book that was actually banned, or you didn't know that was banned, but, you know, in another part of the world, or maybe even in the U.S. had been?
Yeah, my whole class read The Catcher in the Rye.
Right. Definitely.
And I found nothing. I don't understand why that book was banned either. Like, swearing and stuff, it's like, teenagers nowadays, swearing is like just a part of life. And like sex and all that, for what's banned on that, it's just like, it's just a way of life, so.
And then, you know, Harry Potter, I know that you're a fan of Harry Potter. That's one
yes.
of the most banned books in the world, actually.
What, it is?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
For the last decade, it's been banned more times than any other book.
How? Why?
Because of, they think, well, some people, and I don't want to speak for anyone, but I think that it's not clear enough what is fantasy and what is real life, and it might be confusing to younger readers. So I think that's the base or the crux of the argument for Harry Potter.
Yeah, that brings up the topic, like, fiction.
Yeah.
Fiction is fake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if it's fiction, it's fiction for a reason. It's not real. Like,
right.
Banned books that are fiction, it's like, it's not real. I don't understand.
So as long as people are made aware of the fact that what they're reading about isn't true, you think, you know, no book should be banned?
Right.
Okay.
I mean, parents banning their children, like, that's an exception because it's, the parents get to say.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't ban a book to a whole country. I feel like that's not, I forget what the word is, but that's, like, part of their right should be that they should be able to read that book.
Well, and certainly that's why Banned Book Week exists, is because the American Library Association feels that it actually goes against our First Amendment, that we can read whatever we want. So we also wanted to ask you, because you actually have written a book that deals with a situation that might be considered inappropriate by some audiences, which is the situation of a love story of a teacher and a student. So do you think that people should, if they were younger, not read your book? Or how would you feel if your book was actually banned in certain audiences?
Well, going back to, like, the fiction fantasy thing, it's just fiction fantasy. Like, appreciated if it was, like, banned in a country. I'd be like, really? Like, it's just fantasy. But I can also understand, because you wouldn't want, like, your son or daughter going after a teacher that's, like, 20 years older than them.
Right. No, I think that brings up a really good point. But I think, you know, educating your audience about the fact that this is a piece of fiction might really help people.
Yes.
Yeah. Not ban books as often. So in general, would you say that, do you have anything else to add about your opinion on banned books?
Not really. Banned books is just a weird topic to talk about, because it's just, there's so many reasons for a book to be banned, and I don't know of all of them, so I could be speaking blindly.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's important to remember, too, is that any book that has been challenged or actually removed from the shelves of a library is included on the American Library Association's list of banned books. So, and that doesn't mean it was at a national level. That can mean, you know, a tiny little town in the middle of nowhere could have said a book was inappropriate. So it encompasses a very large group of people who are readers. So it's, you know, it's difficult to make statements that apply to everyone. So you definitely have to be cautious. But I think you bring up a really good point, that it is important to remember that when you're reading a piece of fiction, it is fiction.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you for contributing your opinion to our podcast.
No problem.
So right now we have Rosin Kilroy joining us to talk to us a little bit about banned books. And she's actually from Ireland, and she's a really popular writer on Wattpad. You've definitely read some of her stories. Her most popular one is The Girl Behind the Throne, which has been read an amazing 2 million times. She's also started a sequel called The Secrets of the Throne, which is great so far, although it's still a work in progress. So thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us. We would love to know, do you have banned books in Ireland, first of all? And have you ever read a book that was a banned book?
I don't know now do we have banned books in Ireland, but I know we did.
Okay.
There was a war between Ireland and England 100 years ago, for a revolution.
Yeah.
And a lot of pieces of Irish culture and a lot of Irish history were banned, and just not taken into consideration and things like that, because they were for the fight for revolution. And, you know, so there's a lot of, like everywhere, there are things that are banned, and there are also English books banned from Irish libraries. And there's a good lot of books from both countries, but there's a few banned books in Ireland, I think, so far, that are out now and you can read them. But at the time they were banned, 100 years ago.
Right. So you never had banned books when you were in high school or anything?
Oh, yeah. Quite a few of those.
Yeah.
The Sex and the City books. Oh, I was kind of confused there. We have the Sex and the City books. They were kind of, you know, taboo.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We used to sneak them in. We used to go to a convent school, so, you know, you used to sneak them in and you'd read them, take bits and pieces out of them. The best game was to quote, like, Samantha over. we weren't supposed to bring in books that were not intended for school, but we bought them in anyway.
Yes.
And great, all laugh over them, and, you know, just make fun of, like, teachers like that with quotes in the books that they would have no idea what we're talking about.
Right. So you found a way to work around it, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very much so. I think it was Rebel.
Now we're going to hear from Ellen Hopkins, who reads her manifesto poem that's also available on Wattpad.
Manifesto. To you zealots and bigots and false patriots who live in fear of discourse, you screamers and banners and burners who would force books off shelves in your brand name of greater good. You say you're afraid for children, innocence ripe for corruption by perversion or sorcery on the page. But sticks and stones do break bones, and ignorance is no armor. You do not speak for me, and will not deny my kids' magic in favor of miracles. You say you're afraid for America, the red, white, and blue, corroded by terrorists and socialists the sexually confused, but we are a vast quilt of patchwork cultures and multi-gendered identities. You cannot speak for those whose ancestors braved different seas. You say you're afraid for God, the living word eroded by Muhammad and Darwin and Magdalene, but the omnipotent sculptor of heaven and earth designed intelligence. Surely you dare not speak for the Father who opens his arms to all. A word to the unwise. Torch every book, char every page, burn every word to ash. Ideas are incombustible, and therein lies your real fear.
The next writer who's going to speak to us about banned books is David Brown, who's traveled the world but now lives in the United States. His book on Wattpad is called Fistful of Reefer.
David Mark Brown here, author of Fistful of Reefer. And I don't ever think it's necessary to ban a book on a governmental or institutional level. I think that's what parents and smaller communities are for. For me personally, a contested book that has meant a lot is The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton. Amazingly, the book was written by Hinton when she was 16. It's about teenagers, and I was exposed to it as a teenager. And the class wars and the sort of violence that teens are subjected to in the book really helped solidify in my life an early decision to endeavor to understand those who are different from me rather than to fear them. And I've made the critical advice given from one character to another near the end of the book a personal motto of mine, and that advice was to stay gold.
Now we're going to hear from Bill Gorgi, the author of Glide, which is a green sci-fi.
Take you back a few years. Imagine waking up one morning to discover that the last and final book of Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows, which you've been itching to get your hands on for months, or maybe the next Twilight story, is no longer available. The bookstore has a sign that says, Potter and Twilight, out of stock. When you shrug and assume you'll find it at your favorite online site, like Amazon or Lulu or Guy Bookstore, you can't find it there either. Worse, you can't find any of the books in the series, even the ones you've already read. Worse still, your favorite websites, like Wattpad or blogs, devoted to Potter and Twilight fans have been decommissioned. It's like an invisibility cloak has been cast over these monumental collections. Now you're mad and curious. So you investigate. Lo and behold, you discover that overnight, Potter has been banned, and Twilight too. Who would ban such works of genius? With their imaginative, rich worlds and coming-of-age stories? Well, the answer is any number of organizations who feel threatened by the ideas and worlds described in these tales. That's how blind faith works. It demands suppression. Of course, there are societies that have taken banning to its extreme, literally burning books, and sometimes even their authors, in the streets. You might think of the Spanish Inquisition, Nazi Germany, Communist Russia, or even modern China, but you wouldn't have to think of such notoriously closed or paranoid societies. We've burned books right here in the streets of the United States. We still do, even recently, like the Koran burning in Florida. As a writer, the thought of book banning and censure terrifies me. That's not to say that anything goes. A free society does not thrive on hate speech and slander or libel, but it does require a free exchange of ideas, concepts, and beliefs, however intimidating they might seem to one group or another. In fact, you might be shocked to know that Potter and Twilight are, right now, today, on various ban lists throughout the United States. There are many communities and organizations that consider it a crime to read about witches, vampires, and magic. Perhaps one of the most notable and frightening, at least from my perspective as an author, book banning cases happened to Salman Rushdie when he published the Satanic Verses. The Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran demanded his capture and execution. Rushdie literally went into hiding for years. Of course, as soon as it hit the headlines that the Ayatollah had put a price on Rushdie's head, I promptly went out and purchased the Satanic Verses and enjoyed every bit of it. And so it is that life has a funny way of self-correcting. Those who seek to censure and ban books tend to draw attention to the very thing they want abolished. Publicity, they say, is publicity, whether positive or negative. But even as I contemplate the notion of book banning, I take comfort from the fact that no good idea and no good story, however unpopular at first, can be suppressed forever. Even though it took the Vatican eons to accept Copernicus's findings, we take for granted the knowledge that it's the Earth that revolves around the sun. As Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, in every work of genius, we recognize our own rejected thoughts. They come back to us with certain alienated majesty. And so it is with those who would seek to ban books. We writers will present their rejected thoughts back to them with certain alienated majesty. After all, that is the majesty of Potter and Twilight.